I think the Pope's visit was quite remarkable, really. There are maybe three or four reasons why that would be. The first would be because of the clarity and the ease with which the Holy Father spoke to us. He spoke about some very challenging and oftentimes difficult things, but he spoke in a clear, compassionate, and friendly way. So I think that was the first thing. I think the second was the warmth of the welcome that he received, both in terms of a formal welcome by the government, particularly by Her Majesty the Queen at the beginning of the visit, and by the words said by the Prime Minister at the end of the visit, but then also those formal welcomes by British society and parliamentarians, by members of religious congregations, by people of other faiths, and generally by people on the street. It was quite incredible to be driving along with the Holy Father, either in a motorcade or in front of the Popemobile, and just to see tens of thousands of people greeting him and welcoming him and just being very happy to see him. And then I think the other element that sticks in my mind, particularly about the visit, were the liturgical celebrations, were the real moments of prayer that took place in Scotland, in the Midlands, and in London. And what characterized those moments, most of all in my mind, is their joyful celebration, their reverence for the Word of God, and their silence. There were real moments of silence in all those liturgies, which was really quite profound. And I still have memories of the silence in Hyde Park in front of the Blessed Sacrament. To be in the middle of a teeming city like London and to have 80,000 people praying silently was quite incredible, I think.
Monsignor, you were pivotal in the organisation of the journey. You were really the man everyone was turning to. Must have been very stressful for you. Looking back, is there anything you would have liked to see turn out differently? And in your mind, what was the greatest success?
It's hard to think of anything I would particularly have wanted to have gone differently at all, I think. And in terms of success, I think we'll just have to wait and see about success. I think the success is probably the way in which Pope Benedict has been seen directly by the people of the United Kingdom. He has been seen as a shepherd, as a teacher, and as a pastor. He has been seen as a warm, gentle human being. And I think perhaps, I suppose I think I'd like to characterize it by thinking about two people, in fact. When Pope Benedict greeted young people on the piazza in front of Westminster Cathedral, there was a young man there from East London, Pascal, who spoke very, very clearly with a great sense of humour, and he had a great big beam on his face as he was speaking to the Pope, and clearly the Holy Father responded to that very well. And then later that day in the afternoon, the Holy Father went to St. Peter's residence for older people, and he was greeted there by a lovely lady called Patricia Faskey, and she had been a teacher in her career, and she spoke warmly and genuinely to the Holy Father, and again he responded very well. And it just struck me that there we had the two parts, two elements of the whole spectrum of the church in this country, and both in their own way were expressing a welcome and a joy at seeing the Pope, and the Holy Father responded. And if I just contrast those two people, because they were contrasts, they were also exactly the same. And for me, that's the real success of the visit.
At his general audience, the Pope spoke at length about the 4-day visit. He went through almost every single appointment he had with the British people. And he did say something that I've picked out. He said, "It has begun a new and important phase in the long-standing relations between the Holy See and Great Britain." Would you like to comment on that?
I think that would probably be relating quite specifically, I think, to the state element of the papal visit, because, as we all know, the Holy Father's visit came as the result of an official invitation from the Prime Minister and from the Queen. And there were specific elements within the programme that were quite deliberately on an official level. And I think that the discussions that went on and the meetings that took place as part of that really showed that there are areas within the kind of policy framework of the British government and the priorities for the Holy See that can be taken together, particularly to do with the relief of poverty in the world, particularly to do with something around the care for the environment. But I think also, and I think the Prime Minister reflected this as the Holy Father was leaving on Sunday evening, that the Pope's visit here helped us to begin a new kind of conversation and a new discussion about the role of religion and faith within our society. And the Pope spoke several times about a secularized society and some of the pitfalls that there are when that secularization becomes more aggressive than it needs to be. And he was just calling us to look again at the values of our society. And I think that was particularly articulated in Westminster Hall when he was using the financial crisis as an example of something which the financial system didn't have a proper ethical foundation, and that therefore contributed to the crisis. So I think in that sense, what the Holy Father is saying is that there are opportunities now as a result of the visit and as a result of the relationships that have been solidified, that there are real opportunities for the British government and the Holy See to work together on the international stage, and particularly for us within this country to work as Catholics within our society and within the institutions of our society to try to promote the common good and to bring Catholic social teaching to bear.
Another offspring in my mind is that probably this trip has given the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales a huge injection of energy and also of self-assertion.
I think maybe some of the bishops would say they don't lack any opportunities to assert themselves. But no, I know what you mean. I think one of the kind of feelings around at the moment is certainly one of confidence. And I wouldn't apply that simply to the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. I would apply that in Scotland as well. And I think it was Cardinal O'Brien who, even on Sunday evening, coined the phrase Benedict Bounce. And I think I think there's a lot to reflect on, and there's a lot to chew over and to mull over. And I'm certain that as the bishops and as those working with them look very carefully at the themes which the Holy Father chose to highlight for us and the example of the teaching that he gave us, that yes, there will be a real renewed impetus to engage more fully with our society and to engage with each other and just to look at the way in which we live our lives as Christians and the way in which we express ourselves within the church.
Thank you very much. Is there anything you would like to add to that?
Well, I think these things do not happen by accident. And I think my first thoughts are of profound gratitude to everybody who worked so terribly hard in order to prepare the visit and in order to make it really possible for the visit to go as well as I think we all feel that it has. And I would include within that particularly the Holy Father himself, who spoke so eloquently, who took on a programme which was quite arduous, a programme which demanded an awful lot of him personally, and he with real gentleness and joy took that on. And I would also take the opportunity to thank everybody in the Holy See who helped us, because it did take a lot of planning, and it was a pleasure, I feel, for us all to have been able to work together to do something good for the church. So it was great.